Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're still going through Hebrews, which is a interesting Bible study because Hebrews is an interesting book. We're in hour 9, and I've been getting the numbers wrong as I've been doing these recordings. I was actually in 7 when I was saying I was in 6, and I was in 8 when I was saying I was in 7. So I think we've got it straightened out now that we're actually in 9 now. And we've only got up to verse 3 of chapter 2. And that's because we're reading Hebrews in the context of the Bible. You cannot study the gospel according to Paul or the gospel according to Peter unless you're studying the gospel according to Christ as the context in which they talked. I mean, Paul said, I preach the gospel of Christ. So you always have to temper everything he says as if he heard Jesus, as if he studied and understood what Jesus was saying. And a couple hours ago, we were talking about this chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drain away or seep out. And I was telling somebody earlier today that I've known people who began to wake up, began to see the truth, and began to understand what's really going on and how everybody's living under a strong delusion, and there's a great deal of misconception as to whether or not we are saved and who is saved and who is not saved and who is actually doing the will of the Father and who is actually doing and working iniquity. And when you start to wake up to that and begin to understand that, it can become quite a burden, because it's quite an exercise in humility, because we see how badly we have done. So if you begin to wake up to that and understand that and see things differently, and then you backtrack, you literally say you want to get inserted back into the matrix, you will forget everything that you have learned. You will not even remember conversations. You will not remember. You will not see with the same eyes. You will become blind again. Because you say you see, he will take sight away from you. That's right. You will lose sight. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it all works. I don't need to know. But I know that if you do not act upon what you begin to learn, you will not learn more. And if you backtrack on what you've learned, what you have been given will be taken away from you. So you must persevere into the end. You must strive into the end. So anyway, we got up to verse 3. It took 2 hours to get from verse 1 to verse 3. But it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Confirmed by us unto them that heard him. In other words, they were hearing this directly from people who heard it from Christ. Some of the people that were alive when this was written had heard it directly from Christ. Can you imagine if you were one of those little kids there listening to Christ in the out in the fields or on the hills or by the shores of Galilee, and you grew up? You know, well, I was there when Christ was speaking. I was there at the crucifixion. I was 5 years old, but I remember that day. But you don't get that. You have to go by what was said before, and what was said before is mostly in the Bible. Now, there could be other books that are outside the Bible that are just as accurate as the Bible, but they're not in the Bible. So people, they kind of worship the Bible, and so we work with the Bible. But we know the Bible was written in Greek or Aramaic or, Chaldean. And those are the languages that we have to go back to, and we have to read them in the context of the time and the context of themselves. I mean, people tell me that the Bible interprets itself, and of course it doesn't. How can it interpret itself? It's just a book. But what they may be saying is that we can read the Bible in the context of the Bible. And so when he talks about what we've already heard, we can go back to like Hebrews 4:11, which we will discuss later. But it says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. He talks about that rest, that abode, protected state, where we are in the rest of God, in the comfort of God. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief. That we have to labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest. And this is a common theme that you'll see throughout Hebrews, throughout the Bible, throughout Matthew. We read those all this morning when we were doing another show. Labor. That's a doing thing. That's a works thing. But that's what they're telling you. To let us labor. Because it's very important that you do this. And you see, if you go to Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We're not talking about the people who aren't trying to do the will of the Father. We're not talking about the people who aren't seeking the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. We're talking about people who are, but are not allowed to enter in because they're not really trying hard enough. I didn't make this up. That's what it is. I know you got preachers out there saying you don't have to do anything to say these words. Now you're accepted. Now you're saved. And come to church and we'll play music for you and we'll sing songs and we'll all feel good. And then you're tied to me and then I'll take a vacation in the Bahamas. I'll do whatever these preachers do, who, what I refer to as the puddinhead pastors and preachers. Will put you in your pews and feed you damnable heresies. Luke is saying strive. Strive. Christ is saying strive to enter at the straight gate. You read 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Is he not crowned unless he, except that he strive lawfully? Very important that there is a righteous way to do things. Remember, we're supposed to seek the kingdom and the righteousness. So if you have other commitments and contracts, you can't just throw those out the windows. If you have debt, you have to pay that debt. You can't say that Christ died to pay my debt, so therefore I don't have to pay my mortgage. Then I don't have to pay my credit card debt. Now, there is a righteous way to approach this. And you have to be very careful of taking bad advice because it sounds good. Because that's what got you into trouble to begin with. We want you out of debt. And I tried to mention on that earlier show about a guy who talks about getting out of debt all the time on the news. And I can never remember his name because everybody knows I am bad at remembering names. But he talks about getting out of debt all the time. Got a lot of good advice. And, if you're in debt, you should listen to him. You should gather together with other people within the congregation of the networks of the Living Network and discuss, how do we get out of debt? Get up to broke. You need to do that because God wants you to be up to broke. At least up to broke. Because you can't build a house on sand. And so you got to get up to broke. And then, we're not talking about your treasure. We're talking about your debt. We want to get rid of your debt so then we can build on your treasure. And your treasure isn't stuff and money and all that stuff. Nothing wrong with those things. God gave you dominion. And we're going to talk about that eventually here about dominion. And he wants you to have dominion of the piece of this rock that we're put on. And you don't have dominion, you got debt. If you had any dominion, you owe it to somebody else. Because you're in debt. Debt is slavery. Owe no man anything. So you want to get out of debt. And gather with the other people in the congregations and let's all get out of debt together. In a lawful way. In a righteous way. Matthew 19:17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. We discussed that earlier. But that's what he's talking about, is keeping those commandments. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? That means you talk about Jesus all the time? No. Testimony of Jesus Christ is that your life is a testimony of the character of Christ. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. You have the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life because you too keep the commandments of God, which he said to do if you want to enter into eternal life. Which means you can't covet your neighbor's goods. You can't do a lot of other things that everybody seems to think is okay to do now. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now the faith, the probity of Jesus, the honor and righteousness of Jesus, they keep it. They're like Jesus. This is why you call them saints. Actually, partly the reason you call them saints, saints has to do with holy or separate. And the men that were appointed to be the church, the corpus of Christ, the corporation of Christ, the church. And there was some that were appointed to that job to feed his sheep who were not a part of the corporation of Christ, not a part of the body of Christ, not the saints. And they may be saints in their hearts, but they weren't the ones that were separated. They were the ones who were to be free. The ones who were separated were to be like the Levites were supposed to be, not standing between you and God, but standing between you and the world, because they were the titular government that offered you the benefits of Christ without exercising authority one over the other. And we're going to do some shows on this also, on the history of how we slipped away from the simplicity of Christ's gospel. And we stepped outside of his rest and into the turmoil and corvy of the world. And we do it by giving men power. We do not want to give men power. We want to take back power, take back responsibility. Still have the same responsibilities of religion, which is caring for the needy of your society, unspotted by the worlds that you give power to. Don't use those to take care of the needy. You do it. I mean, you can apply for a grant from a company that wants to give away money, but you can't apply for grants from the government that takes away money. You can only apply for free will offerings if that money has come by way of men who call themselves benefactors. You can't apply for those benefits. You can't seek those benefits, because we were told not to be that way. You can only seek the benefits of those who freely give. That's a principle of the kingdom. In Mark 10:17, we see, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit, become heir, to eternal life. Thou knowest the commandments, he says. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Can have fraudulent ways of buying things, you know, like giving people something that's worthless, knowing it's worthless, but giving it to them and allowing them to be deceived that it has value, and then thinking that you have done just. I.e., not to do that. And he goes on to say, honor thy father and thy mother. Don't participate in the Corbin of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect, where you could say, I've already given. I've already supported my mother and my father because I have already given to the temple. And they will take care of my mother and my father. No, you're to honor. You know, that word honor in the Old Testament is from a word that is also translated liver, and it means to fatten. You know, that fat that you have, that you've been gaining, that's because your liver's been making fat. Probably been turning sugar into fat, and you haven't been burning it up. You haven't been working hard enough. I know that I've actually gained a little weight. Since I was 45, I was 145 pounds, 6 foot tall, all my life. You know, once I got to 145, I pretty much stayed 145. A few times I ran into health problems and lost a little bit of weight, but that I stayed pretty much at 145, 147 for 30 years. Now I'm 160. So I've got an extra 10, 12 pounds on me. And I'm going to blame it on the computer. And sitting here for hours making radio shows. But actually what happens when you get a little bit older and you're not burning up that energy as much. You know, I was working on a roof yesterday, up and down and painting and hauled a ton of stuff away. But I spend a lot of days in here preaching the kingdom. And so I'm not burning up as much energy. And it shows. But the fact is your liver is usually the cause of why you get heavy. It's producing those fat cells. It's turning that sugar into fat. And that's why in ancient times, when they were all a bunch of ignorant people, right? They didn't know all these things. They associated the word liver with fattening. They knew that. They understood that and how that works. And so the same word for to fatten is the same word we see to liver. So when it says honor thy father and thy mother in the old Hebrew, they mean to fatten your father and your mother, to enrich, you know, because fat was wealth. If you were doing well, your cows were fat, your sheep were fat. But if food was scarce and times were hard, everything was skinny, including you and your father and your mother. So you should be doing the work for your father and mother and taking care of them. And there's a spiritual change when you do that. But if you turn that job over to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority and force your neighbor to contribute to the welfare of your mother and your father, and then you sit back not doing as much as you should have been doing, then you are not honoring your father and your mother. You're not fattening them. You're not taking care of them. You need to take care of them. It's your responsibility to do that. And if you take back your responsibilities, you'll get back your rights. That's how it works. It's not being a belligerent claimant in person. It's not filing UCC papers. It's getting God on your side by keeping his commandments. That's how you do it. If you think you can do it another way, have at it. It ain't going to work. It's going to get you way out there in the middle of the battlefield, you and all the armies of Pharaoh coming down on you with everything they got, and there's not a pillar of fire anywhere around to stand between you and the armies of Pharaoh. And you will be crushed because you did not listen. You did not listen to what and heed what he had said. He's telling you how to be free souls under God. John the Baptist told you. Moses told you. Elijah told you. Jesus told you. Paul told you, Peter told you. He told you even how you would be turned into merchandise, human resources. He told you how you would do it. He said through covetousness, they would make merchandise of you. The problem isn't the fact that they made an offer. It's that you were covetous. And you went into bondage. Because you said, yeah, these guys will do my job for me. They will tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They will take care of my parents. They will educate my children. They will take care of my health care. You know, I actually, last night I reviewed again. I've seen it before, but somebody gave it to me, and I looked at Farmageddon. Go out and get yourself a copy of Farmageddon. You can probably download it on the internet. Get it on Netflix or something. Or just ask around. Your church should have a copy. If your church doesn't, what's it good for? So anyway, go look at it. And it's interesting, the spirit and mindset that's going on in the world today. People being crushed and stomped on and robbed and cheated and poisoned. And you're singing in church? You don't even know what's going on? You're supposed to have dominion of the earth. You're supposed to dress it and keep it healthy. And you're poisoning it. You're poisoning the whole biological chain. There's going to be such unbelievable famine. And I don't even need a crystal ball to know this. In this country, the food you eat will make you sterile. It will make you ill. It will cause cancer. It will do all these things. And you're going to cry out to the Lord when you feel the pain of that. And he's not going to hear you. Because you didn't hear all these other people that are already crying out. And you didn't do anything. You went to church. You're saved already, right? Because you believe. You aren't a doer of the word. You're saying, oh, well, it's not my job. It's not my responsibility. It is your job. It's the weightier matters. How can you do this all by yourself? There's one person. That's right, because you're not gathering together with other people. You're not working together with other people. You're going to church to feel good. You're not going to church to do good. Every single church should be outraged every time some of these horrendous miscarriages of justice take place. But they keep taking place day after day, place all over this country. People are losing everything. And you're going to church. And you say, well, that's just too bad. I feel so bad for them. I'll write them a sympathy letter. No, you have to do more than that. You have to gather together and be and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. As it says in Mark 10:19, thou knowest the commandments, and all the commandments are hinged on this one basic, simple thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Care about thy neighbor's rights as much as you care about your own. Care about thy neighbor's diet. Now, there's going to be all kinds of people out there who don't care. They're just going to keep going McDonald's and eating all the wrong stuff and not do anything about it. And maybe they go to a church and sing. Maybe they don't even go to church. Maybe they have convinced themselves that there is no God and that they evolved from the primordial slime through millions of years of evolution. They might think that, or some other delusion. And you can't even talk to them. But it isn't about talk. It's about doing. It's not saying, Lord, Lord. It's about doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father said, what? First commandment of God? Dress it and keep it. You have to start tending to these things. You know, we live way out away from most farmers. There's hardly any farmer in our community. There are a few places they'll raise wild meadow hay. A couple places they raise alfalfa. We raise alfalfa. One place just planted, not that far from us, pretty far though, planted, guess what? GMO alfalfa. I couldn't get any other seed. I wasn't in the other seed. I had to plant my alfalfa. And I'm going to need to spray for weeds because I only want to farm it once. I don't want to farm it two, three times like you should. They bring in GMOs, even in this remote high valley. Now, they haven't brought in corn and all these other things. We could be planting these things. And we plant a lot of stuff. But it's going to take a lot of resources. And what we need is valley after valley after valley that is high and distant and remote from regular farming places and start planting those seeds. And there are people doing it, planting those heritage seeds that are not GMO. And actually, if we had the funds, we would create, you know, vaults all over that would store these seeds and learn more and more about storing seeds. There's a lot we've learned already about storing seeds. But we don't want them all in a central location like Bill Gates and the Rockefellers are doing. And they probably have more than one location, but they have one way up in Norway where they have these big iron doors, and behind that they're storing all the seeds. Well, they know they need to because they got these GMOs out here that are poisoning the people and poisoning livestock and making them infertile and interrupting the food chain. And they don't eat that stuff. They eat organic, you know. I mean, like Prince Charles, he gets all his stuff organic and brought in from special gardens. He won't eat that stuff. But they're letting you eat that stuff because it's part of the population control. Sounds pretty ridiculous. I don't know why they're letting you do it. I mean, that's a guess. That's a conspiracy theory. But, and I can't prove that. But it isn't a secret that they get their food shipped in. I mean, the White House gets its food shipped in. That's not a secret. But you're supposed to eat the stuff on the shelves, and they actually don't even let them properly label it. Everything that has a GMO seed in it, grain, whatever, should be labeled. This is a GMO product. And all the idiots who don't care should eat that. And, you know, survival of the fittest. And all those of you who do care would not eat that. But the reality is they're not going to do that. You're going to have to start creating CSAs and, you know, community-supported agriculture, or what we refer to as church-supported agriculture. Because God told you to dress it and keep it. It is now a religious activity to produce food that is not GMO, not genetically modified, because our religion tells us not to do that, not to mix the seed. You talk about mixing seed. Hybrid, you think hybrid's bad? Try GMO. I mean, they're mixing animal DNA with plant DNA, and vice versa, and all kinds of weird things going on. So religiously, you can't eat that. You know, that would not be good. That would be adulterating your body. So how do you do that? Because everything, you can't buy anything that's been made from corn or has corn or soybean in it that isn't genetically modified. So anyway, we're getting off of Hebrews a little bit, but no, we're not actually. Because that would be keeping the commandments. Not to adulterate. Yeah, not to adulterate. It's not just about sex, folks. It's about not adulterating the body that God has given you, or your family, or your children, or that which you have dominion over. So all that, you see, that's the thing. And once you understand the spirit of these commandments, you won't narrow them down, bearing false witness. You know, I could tell you stories about that, but we'll go off on another rabbit trail. Let's get back on here with Luke 10:25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. You know, it's amazing how many times they talked about lawyers. Stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life?" He said unto him the same thing. You know, what is written in the law? You're a lawyer. What's written in the law? How readest thou? Yes. You know, he's a lawyer. And he answers and saith, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right." He didn't list off the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are really saying exactly that. "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Are you doing it? Or are you coveting your neighbor's goods through a social estate somewhere in Canada or England or Australia or United States or wherever, everywhere? And it said unto him, thou hast answered right, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, why is he knew the answer. Why is he saying this to Jesus to try to justify himself? Because he wasn't really doing it. He had the answer, but he wasn't really doing it. Are you really doing it? And he goes on and he says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? It's right after that that Jesus tells about the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. And we'll talk more about this and Luke 18:18 and some more of this when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this break.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, we're back, and as I said, that when the individual lawyer said, who is my neighbor? And that's one thing we have to start understanding, is that our neighbors, that's a wide stretch all over the place. Even our enemy may be our neighbor. That's right. Even our enemies may be our neighbor under this definition. What Christ said, he began to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And he talks about a guy who had this need, that he was beat up and he was injured. And people heard that saw that he was injured, and they didn't do anything about it. It's like, you know, these people that get raided because they produce milk, you know, whole milk. You know, my son was plagued with allergies. He didn't have them all the time, and then he got them again. What happened was that he was the youngest son, and when all my daughters moved away, got married, moved away, all my milkmaids moved away, and we had a dairy cow, and it got injured by the bull, and we didn't have another dairy cow. I didn't drink a lot of milk. My kids were grown. And he started having all kinds of allergy problems. I mean, really severe. I mean, he literally would wear a gas mask. I mean, we have to run haying equipment. And he would run a gas mask to filter out the stuff and wash and do all kinds of things, even take Benadryl to overcome that allergy. But we got grandkids now. And our grandkids and our daughter lives nearby, and so we got another milk cow. So we were back in producing our own milk. When he drinks the milk, all the allergies go away. Way better than Benadryl. Way better than wearing a gas mask out in the hayfield. Just drink milk. And the allergies went away. I had a daughter with, our granddaughter with psoriasis. And she had eczema and psoriasis. And there was another skin problem that she had. But if she's drinking whole milk, it all goes away. It's got to be whole milk. Can't be pasteurized. Can't be homogenized. It's got to be whole milk. Those fat globules have to be whole, you know, where the stuff separates in the bottle. And when the cow is fresh, she doesn't have trouble with it. When the cow dries up, she has trouble with it. And she'll eventually grow out of it to some degree, but whole milk is good medicine. For some people, it's essential for good health. They need that fat. Now, they might be able to get it a few other ways, but they can't get it just by being a vegetarian. They need that. It's a matter of genetics, and it's just the nature that they're going to have that need. Other kids I grew up, they didn't have that need. Or lactose intolerant. It's not lactose intolerant if they got goat's milk. It was only, and I've known other people who were lactose intolerant until they got whole milk, and then they weren't lactose intolerant because it included the enzymes that are needed to digest the milk. And so all this is natural. This is the way it's supposed to be. But there are people out there with guns trying to keep you from eating naturally. And you're letting it happen to your neighbor. So people are being beaten up, and you're saying it's not your problem. You're walking to the other side of the road. You're not the good Samaritan. Why did he pick Samaritans? Samaritans were bad. And like I said on an earlier show, if you went to Mississippi or Alabama back in the 60s, blacks were somebody that you looked down on and you thought terrible of, and they were dirty. And then of course there are parts of the South where it's white trash that you have to worry about. And then you go down to Southern Texas and it's Mexicans that people look down on, or, you know, it depends on East Texas or West Texas. And then if you go up to the Dakotas, everybody was talking bad about the Indians. When I went up there to work on wheat farms, there was no blacks or Mexicans up in North Dakota, but there were Indians. So it was the Indians were the trash. And people would talk bad. Not everybody would, but there are certain people that need people to look down on. And everybody, you know, if you were in England, it'd be the Irish. I guess if you're in Ireland, it'd be the English. But everybody's got to think of them as degenerate or bad or whatever. And you know, they do the same in Korea or China or Japan. They'll do the same. Well, the Samaritans were the ones that everybody looked down on in this crowd of Judeans. But Jesus started talking about the good Samaritan. It'd be kind of like today, the good jihadist. Or the Muslim. A lot of people are thinking bad of Muslims and putting them down and racial profiling or what have you. I mean, Muslims, that's a wide group of people. And so you would be saying the good Muslim or the, you know, good communist, whatever. The point is that he was picking these people that you would not consider your neighbor, be unclean or whatever, and saying that they were good because they did what? They cared enough to walk across the road and help somebody out who needed help. And I tell you, if you're raising whole milk in most estates, you probably need supporting of the local community. And every church should show up at these farms where people are producing whole milk. Or I can show you situations where guys were run out of business because somebody, you know, like rapeseed, hauled rapeseed down his road that was GMO rapeseed. It spilled out, fell into his field out of their truck, grew up, and contaminated what his father and his grandfather had been raising for years. The rapeseed that they had been collecting themselves to produce a finer and finer crop, it was contaminated by GMO rapeseed, and he had to destroy all his seed. But they're allowed to truck it up and down because they altered it. They adulterated it. And you go to church and let that happen in your community? You should be out there, arm in arm, every one of you. Don't even bother going to the church. Go straight out to that farmer's field and protect his rights. Protect his, you know, if you live in open range and people are putting their cows out and they're all beef cows and somebody turns a dairy bull out with them, which is going to damage their herds, you can go rope that dairy bull and castrate it if he won't keep it in. Because he's damaging your property. That's an open range. Now you go over to where it's not open range. All these GMO crops that are contaminating the fields next to them and making these people destroy their crops and not keep their seed. I mean, you've run 600 seed cleaners out of business in the Midwest. You can't even hardly find seed cleaning equipment anymore. All done by these, you know, Monsanto and these guys. These guys are criminal. They're contaminating your food supply. by the millions of acres. And you're sitting there going to church, you're not dressing and keeping it. So anyway, back to Hebrews. You're not honoring your father and your mother. And, you know, it goes and says a certain ruler, and the word ruler there is translated ruler 22 times, prince 11 times, chief twice, magistrates once, chief ruler once. But he says a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? Thou knowest the commandments. He says, do not commit adultery. Do not adulterate. Do not kill. Do not steal. You know, they killed out that three generations to create those rape seeds that were that quality. And they came in and made them destroy that so that the only rape seeds you can buy now are GMO, which are adulterated. And you're singing in your church. What are you singing about? Do not steal. They stole from him. They invaded his field with their seed and contaminated it. And your courts, this is Canadian courts, but the same thing's going on all over the country. It has been going on for years and years until there's hardly, you know, decent seed left. But don't worry. You know, the rich elite, they've got the seed stored in big vaults. They got the key, not you. They ain't storing that for you. And your food supply is really getting into trouble. You're already at pandemic proportions for diseases that are caused by this. And it's going to be exponential. It's going to get worse and worse and worse rapidly. But don't worry, you probably won't die from that. You'll die from starvation. Because there won't be food around. That's right, there won't be food around. But anyway, do not kill. You're letting it happen. Do not steal. It happens every day. Do not bear false witness. It's going on all the time in the courts. Honor thy father and mother. You don't do that anymore. The government takes care of your mom and dad. And you expect to be welcomed into the kingdom of God with open arms? When you're not doing any of those things the way God said to do them? John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You don't believe in him. He says you want eternal life. You got to keep all those commandments and you're not doing them. By policy. Throughout the whole nation. You think you're going to get somebody voted in and it's going to change everything and make you free? And you go on letting this happen? The vote's not going to do it because most of the voters are orcs and goblins. They are degenerates. Most of the voters are. Now, if you want to go try to get the vote, go ahead. And you might, you know, forestall something a little bit. But you got to take back your responsibility. Most governments were voluntary governments throughout the history of mankind. That meant most governments were dependent upon individuals coming together in small groups and linking those groups to a network and had a common understanding of what is righteous. Don't adulterate. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Pay your way. Honor your father and your mother. Take care of your family. Take care of your neighbor. Be good Samaritans. They understood that. And if anybody was attacked in their community, everybody showed up with hue and cry to protect them. You don't do that anymore. I don't care who you vote in. Until you're doing that, you're not going to be free. That's all there is to it. God's not going to be on your side. Your neighbor's not going to be on your side. And I'm not going to be on your side. You shouldn't eat of my blood or my God's blood. Because you won't share with one another. You won't show up for one another. I've seen this at the pity parties. You know, somebody's stepping on my rights. Somebody else is stepping on my rights. I say, you guys got to get together. I don't care about his problem. I just want my problem fixed. I just throw up my hands and leave. You're on your own. There's no spirit of God in this room. Spirit of selfishness, which is why you have all these problems. And you don't want that selfishness to go away. So I'm leaving. So anyway, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. And I'm not here condemning these governments. These governments are a product of your selfishness. Your lack of hue and cry. your lack of caring for one another, but the world through him might be saved if you put on the character of Christ. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, what's he talking about? Bread and wine? Hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. He's talking about putting on his character, live his life, do it his way, show up for one another, love one another. John 6:56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. You can't just believe in Christ, and we're going to get to that eventually. You have to be one with Christ. You have to do it the way Christ would do it. You have to be willing to lay down your life for righteousness. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word, eternal life. What is he talking about? Do you heed that word? Are you doing it the way Christ said to do it? Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. This word believed was not just a thought word now. It was an action word. And we'll get to that, like I said. Won't be this hour, but it'll be another hour. Romans 2:7. To them who by patience, continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Well-doing, not well-thinking, well-doing, seek for glory. And we'll look at that word glory eventually. You'll be surprised where that word comes from. What's the origin? What do they mean glory? But we'll have to do that later. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, in other words, you went away from the ways of God, you rejected the ways of God, you went and elected Saul, you elected Cain, you elected Nimrod to provide you with benefits, to protect you, because you were too lazy to do it yourself. Why did they go for a king? Because the judges were corrupt. Guess what, folks? The judges are corrupt. Not all of them, but enough so that people are being destroyed by judges who are corrupt. So you're going to get a king to fix this? You don't get a king to fix this. You fix this. How do you do it by yourself? You can't do it by yourself. You have to come together in the character of Christ. Be willing to sacrifice yourself and show up. Gather together in congregations, local, intimate congregations that know each other, but link them together in a network. This is the way they ran these free governments for thousands of years. You're not going to study that in public school. They're not going to teach you how to be a free government. They're going to teach you how to be a bound legal system. We're going to teach you how to be a free government. But really, you know, you can't teach it with books. You can't teach it with sermons. You learn by doing. It's an on-the-job training kind of thing. So you have to gather together and actually care about one another. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. You not being righteous? No eternal life. By Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord, where? In you. Because you eat his blood and drink his blood and eat his flesh. Why? Because he lives and dwells in you, and you are like him. Not because you think a thought, but because you are well-doing in righteousness and honor. Then you get immortality and eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. What's one of those sins? Sloth. Avarice. Those are sins. Not showing up. Not sloth. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, but only if he's living in you. He didn't die so that you could say, Lord, Lord, and didn't be saved. You have to be a doer of the word. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight. of faith. Faith, again, probity. Honor. Honoring what? Honoring the Ten Commandments and all that they mean. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Is he talking about just saying? He's talking about profession of what you do. Not what you say, but what you do. You have to be doing it. These guys that say you don't have to do anything, just say, just think, that's saying. Tell them, get ye from me. Get ye behind me, Satan. Instead, you pay him money up there in the pulpit to lead you into iniquity and bondage. And you think that, well, Jesus will save me. He won't even hear you. John 3:15, again, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. If you won't do something about the fact that your brothers are being robbed and abused and raided and poisoned and murdered, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him, then you know now that aiding and abetting this murder and robbery and deceit, there's no eternal life abiding in you either. Now you have to repent. There's no two ways about it. You have to repent. You have to turn around. You have to go the other way. You've got to do it. We'll talk about it. We'll show you what we've learned. But really, you have to gather together. And that's why we've got, you know, thelivingnetwork.org. Go there and join with others. And if you have this zeal, if you are on fire with righteousness, join with them so that you can bring that righteousness to their meetings and their gatherings. And so that we can create new places all over the country. New church-supported agriculture. Church-supported health centers. And why? Because you're the church. You're the people. You're the stones. You're the altars of clay. It's the job is yours. You got to do it. So verse 4. We got to verse 4. Another hour. That's 3 hours, three verses. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We've seen that. You should be having those gifts of the Spirit. Those miracles. Diverse miracles and gifts. If you start this walk, you will start to see them. We're not going to put on a show. We're going to let you walk the walk. And do what is righteous. And turn your life around to do that which is right and righteous. Because you have to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And before you do that, you have to repent. You have to turn around. You've been whoring after the gods of the world, the benefactors who exercise authority. And this is why you see the results of that. And Hebrews is talking about going back the other way and bearing a witness of Christ in your life, doing the will of the Father and not just saying, Lord, Lord. So until next week, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of other things. Peace on your house. And may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.